The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, thank you. Marcy is not here this morning. She's hosting an event at a building that we manage, and so I'm only half here. But we'll do what we can do by the grace of God. Amen. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John and chapter 20. Felt like the Lord recently challenged me to take a look at the resurrection message of Jesus. What did he say? What did he preach after his resurrection? What message did he bring straight from the throne? After his resurrection and ascension, spent time with the Father that he saw doing things and heard the Father saying things, what then did he have to say? He was in his new and improved body, but he had received an upgrade. He was Jesus 3.1. Whatever. Gospel of John, chapter 20, and beginning at verse 19. Then, the same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." I want us to notice that Jesus immediately says to them, "Peace." That he brings to them, I was struck with the fact he brings the message to them, and the message that he brings is peace. Now, that is somewhat understandable, considering that they are in a locked room and all of a sudden, Jesus is there. It might be good to bring some stability to a team of people who are hiding already, scared to death, to all of a sudden. But I want to suggest that it was much more than that. They were there, they were hiding because of fear of the Jews, because they had just lost their hero, and they knew that they were associated with him. They had all denied him. And the amazing thing is, when God comes into the room, he says to them, "Peace." Everybody hold out your hand. I want you to receive peace this morning. Just receive peace. Father, just release peace. Peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. We just release it. Peace to you. Can you sense it? I believe I want to preach this quick so we have time to do something to release peace, both to release and to give away peace to one another. Sometimes we don't realize what we have until we feel it going out of us. And I want to try to give opportunity for that if we can do that. I want to ask you a question. Are you at peace with God? We need to know that we can be at peace with God. We need to know that everything between us and God is okay. That doesn't mean that he's done with you. This is just like at home, picking up color crayons after the kids. Isn't that awesome? This is the family of God. Why am I doing that? I'm not sure yet, but I think it's so it doesn't get ground into the carpet. Because I walk around a lot. But there's this tremendous peace. Here, peace be with you. Peace. There's a tremendous peace that God... do you remember when Jesus was born? What was the announcement to the angels? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It was peace all the time. God always has our best in mind. He's always after peace. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And so we shouldn't be surprised, and yet we have this picture of God that causes us to be uneasy in His presence. And He wants us to know His peace. He wants us to know that we... That it amazes me that after the crucifixion, the resurrection from the dead and the ascension, that the message that Jesus comes with is peace. Rein in. Settle down. I know the Jews are trying to kill you. Settle down. I know that most of you are going to be dead within the next 10 to 15 years. Settle down. I know that one of you in this group is going to be beheaded. Peace. I know there's one of you in this group that they're going to try to kill and they won't be able to, and they will send you to an island just to get rid of you. Peace. Peace. In this day in which we live, we need to know the peace of God that passes understanding. I'm going to ask if Corey will come up. She's going to sing a song this morning. Just about the... come on up. She's going to help me preach. How many of you know that God is restoring back to the church creativity, arts, whether it's, you know, sometimes we have people painting up here. This is a song that Corey wrote, and it just captures so well what we're talking about. We need to know that we have peace with God, and I'm going to get to the reason why more than any other reason we need to know it. But I first want to settle that within us. Are you ready?
I don't know.
Okay. I think you are.
Oh, the wedge. Sorry.
What's the wedge? This?
That speaker that looks like a wedge.
Point it toward you?
Yeah. Maybe you could put it on the floor, actually.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Wow, I feel like a sound man. I've always wanted to be sound. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Peace.
I need it. Am I on, Jeremy? Okay. I'm ready. Am I ready? I can't hear anything. There we go. Okay. As Bob said, I wrote this song about 8 years ago after just a really awesome service, and God just really kind of painted this picture in my head, and I didn't ever want to forget that experience I had, so I wrote it as a song. And I've tried probably two other times to do it for special music and always frilling it up, thinking it needed more. And, you know, I've tried a whole worship team doing it. I've tried just me and my dad, and it just never worked out right. And I just really felt I just need to simplify it. I was joking with Vanessa, practice on Thursday. Really, I'd love to just sit on the floor, no plug in anything, and just we all sit in a circle and do it. But you wouldn't be able to hear it very well, so we'll just do it like this.
Amen. Thank you, Corey. We had the revelation, the prophetic picture painted for us this morning of coming before the Lord with our vessel and asking Him to fill it. And the song provokes us to ask the question, do we come as a beggar or as a son? Do we come as one who's expecting and knowing that we have the right to approach God? We had an exhortation prophetically this morning to ask. Do we ask as a beggar or do we ask as a son and a daughter? Do we know that we have total peace with God? And we know it theologically. I know we know it because the Bible tells us so. But do we know it because we've heard Him say it? Do we know that we have peace with God? When it hits the fan, whatever it is for you that hits the fan, how's that for a safe picture? When it hits the fan, do you stay in a place of peace with God? I know a lot of things can be shaken in our life, but can our relationship with God be unshaken? Are we upon the rock of rocks that allows us, yes, the wind can blow, whatever, let it go, but one thing, this I know, God loves me, and I am at total peace with Him, and there's nothing that anybody can do to me that can shake my peace. Peace be with you. And why is it important that we know the peace of God? See, everybody say this after me. My life is not about me. Did you know that? Dave said it a little earlier. The reality is your life is not about you. In fact, Jesus comes to them. He says, peace to you. Even as the Father sent me, I now send you. And one of the reasons that we've got to know the peace of God is because we're preachers of it. Because we declare a gospel of peace. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We represent, we're ambassadors for the Prince of Peace. And so I must know the peace of God in my life in order to give it away. Now, if you're here this morning and you were introduced, as was I, and a lot of my generation probably was, to a gospel that was not necessarily all that peaceful, a gospel of rules and regulations, a gospel of do's and don'ts, mostly don'ts, then you need what Casey talked about last week, a paradigm shift. A shift in your mind. A paradigm shift is simply a change in thinking. That's all it is. It's repentance. It's coming to the highest truth. Penthouse thinking. That's where the word repentance comes from. It is a shift in thinking. And you and I need a shift in thinking concerning the peace of God and His opinion of us. Because it is the gospel we preach. It should be. I know I'm asking you a lot of questions this morning, but is the gospel that you preach the gospel of peace? Or is it the gospel of rules and regulations? Is it the gospel of requirements? When Jesus sent out the 72 into the cities that He was about to go in, He sent them and He sent them with one message. And He said, when you go into a city, the first thing you do is speak peace. And if a son of peace is there, it will remain. If your peace comes back to you, get out of there. The peace of God, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. The whole purpose of the cross of Jesus Christ was peace. A peace that surpasses all natural understanding. I'm hurrying along here because I'm not going to tell you what we're going to do yet. You'll get ahead of me. See, many of us don't preach the gospel because we feel like we need to preach a gospel that's going to confront people. feel like we need to preach a gospel that's going to get in people's face and shake our finger and carry a Bible that's bigger than any man should carry. No wonder there's so much back problems in the church. Just kidding. Lighten up. But the reality is that the gospel that you, it's good news. And it's not the good news once you've become a believer. It's good news to the unbeliever. It is a gospel of peace. Sometimes we try to clean fish before we caught them. When in reality, it's not our job to clean the fish, which is fine with me. Having grown up in northern Minnesota where we'd come home with fish and guess who got to clean them? It's like, let somebody else clean the fish. No, it's our job to catch fish. It's our job to bring the gospel of peace. I want to encourage you to consider in your spheres of influence to see yourself as a man of peace, as a woman of peace, as the person that always has a message that leads to peace. That's the gospel that we preach. And do you know that you can speak words of peace without getting all religious and hokey pokey? Well, you can. You'll find that people will like you and they're not sure why. But it's because you're so peaceful. Peace is not a term that belongs to man. It is a term and a word and a reality that belongs to God. Peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, capital S. It is His. Peace belongs to God and He gives it away freely to us. Okay, here's what we're going to do. And we're going to do it quickly. And because we are. We're going to have a peace tunnel. And if those of you who don't know what a prayer tunnel, it's a prayer tunnel, but the whole purpose is going to be to impart peace. And here's how I know it's going to go quickly. You are not allowed to speak. So often when we have a prayer tunnel, it gets into long prayers and long prophecies. But you cannot speak. But I want us to focus on something, and I mean this sincerely. And I'm not making light of speaking. I kind of like it. Just letting you catch up. Think about it. The primary reason we're not speaking is I want us to pay attention to what's going on in our spirit when we're praying for people going by us and when we're receiving from people as we go by them. And I'm going to, for those of you who don't know what a prayer tunnel is, I'll help you understand in just a moment. But it is an opportunity for us both to give out and to receive. But I want you to pay attention to what's going on in your body. I want you to pay attention to what's going on in your soul. I want you to pay attention to what's going on in your spirit. Because I'm telling you, what will be going on is peace. And you may say, well, that's a very bold statement. Well, come on, the Prince of Peace is here. In you. In fact, whether you can sense it or not, since we start talking about peace, you can sense peace in the room. But I want us to know what it's like to dispense it and to receive it. And as some of you will not be able, won't feel the receiving of peace until you've dispensed it. And so what we're going to do, those of you who know what to do, come on up. We form two lines here. People walk through. It is an opportunity to lay hands on people and to have hands laid on you. Thank you, Charity. If you're visiting here this morning and you say, I'm not sure about this, that's fine. You just watch, and if you decide somewhere through the time you want to get. So, yeah, you could, if you guys would stand right there, and then we're going to have you guys start it. Yep. Okay, yeah. Have you done this before?
Yeah.
Hey, all right. We're always concerned when we have visitors, like, we don't want to freak people. We just want to bless people. Okay. Now, please, listen. Listen to me. How well can you follow leadership instructions? Do not speak. And I know I made light of it. It's not whether it's about learning to feel the flow of the Spirit to us and through us. That's the primary reason. And so those of you walking through, you can start. A little slower. Just at a leisurely pace, and let people lay hands on you. Pay attention to what God is doing. Those of you who are laying hands on, feel the peace of God going out of you. Remember the lady with the issue of blood? She touched the hem of his garment and he felt virtue go out of him. Expect to feel that flow. Give out. Exhale. If you're receiving, inhale from people. Prince of Peace, we thank you that you are here.